For the Daily Princetonian, I'm Theo Wells-Spackman. You're listening to Daybreak. Today, we cover an Ivy Day without affirmative action, a new budget for the 2024-25 academic year, a change to the New Jersey ballot system, and striking election results in Turkey. It's Monday, April 1st. I sat down with news assistant editor Megan Feldhaus to discuss admitted students' reactions after Ivy Day last Thursday.
My name is Megan Feldhaus, and I am an assistant news editor at The Prince.
Okay, so we've gathered that Ivy Day was last Thursday. Could you tell us a little bit about that and how students are taking it and that kind of thing?
Okay, so yes, Ivy Day was last Thursday, March 28th, and it is called that because that is the day where most Ivy League schools release their decisions. So Princeton, accepted Princeton students of the class of 2028 have been informed of their acceptances, and most students who were interviewed are very excited about the prospect of coming to Princeton.
One major difference for this year, obviously, is that affirmative action is no longer in place. What is the conversation like about that issue?
Yes, this is an interesting topic because this is actually the first time since the 1960s where there is no federal regulation mandating that universities consider racial diversity in part of applications or admissions processes. And the interviewed students this year, they don't really know how the lack of affirmative action will be impacting decisions made this year. But they have their own opinions, and a lot of them who felt that race was relevant to their application process did mention a change in the university's application questions, which includes a question specifically asking about, quote, reflections on how your lived experiences will impact the conversations you will have in the classroom, the dining hall, or other campus spaces. Regardless of if students actually discussed their race when answering this question, nearly all of them found this to be an enlightening question for them to further address their backgrounds in their application.
So have most of the people that you're talking to already made the decision to come here?
This is an interesting question because most of the students who I've spoken to actually haven't yet committed. They've mentioned different degrees of leaning towards Princeton versus other peer institutions, but one thing that many students who have not committed yet have mentioned is that they are waiting for financial information from these other peer institutions, which it is known that with recent changes to the FAFSA system, there have been delays in receiving financial information. So this will be interesting to see how and when students will receive this information so that they can make their decisions.
In campus news, the trustees of the university announced an approved operating budget for the 2024-25 academic year on Friday. The plan organizes a total of $3.1 billion in anticipated costs, of which $279 million will be allocated to undergraduate financial aid. This figure represents an increase of 7.8% from the current year. The new allocation follows a directive established by the board in early March that the university should aim for a student body in which 70% of individuals are eligible for need-based aid and 22% are Pell Grant eligible. The budget also includes provision for 9 new faculty appointments, including 4 full, 1 associate, and 1 assistant professor positions. Among others, Pulitzer Prize-winning historian Ada Ferrer will join the History Department from NYU. And the Eric and Wendy Schmidt Professorship in Indigenous Studies will be filled by J. Kehaulani Kawanui of Wesleyan University. In national news, a federal judge issued a decision on Friday that will drastically change the format of New Jersey's primary election ballots. Until now, ballots have used a system called the county line, which gives candidates endorsed by party leadership advantageous placement on the ballot. In this manner, county leaders in each political party highlight a single candidate for every available position, from local offices to president. Following the decision, each candidate must now be listed under the office they are running for. The decision comes from U.S. District Court Judge Zahid Qureshi, and it was the result of a lawsuit filed in February by the Office of New Jersey Representative, candidate for Senate, Andy Kim. Before Kim's opponent, Tammy Murphy, dropped out of the race, she had received substantial endorsement from party leaders. Professor Sam Wang of Princeton's Neuroscience Department was one of the experts whose testimony against the influence of the county line system was cited in the decision. In international news, Turkey's main opposition party declared victory last night in high-stakes elections in Istanbul and Ankara. The two major cities, along with numerous others, held mayoral elections which were dominated by opponents of President Erdogan. Ekrem İmamoğlu, the incumbent in Istanbul, who has been a harsh critic of Erdogan's administration, won a particularly hard-fought victory. The president had campaigned vigorously on behalf of his own Conservative Party candidate, hoping to regain control of the economic engine of Istanbul after opposition parties fractured last year. However, a period of staggering inflation has newly destabilized the country, with February seeing an inflation rate of nearly 70%. Sunday's dramatic results appear to signal widespread unrest against Erdogan's government, with more secular and left-leaning parties winning out in previously conservative strongholds in the south and west of the country. Today, you should keep an umbrella handy. Along with rain will come a high of 54 degrees and a low of 43 degrees Fahrenheit. That's all for Daybreak today. Today's episode was written by me, sound engineered by Maya Mukherjee, and produced under the 148th Managing Board of the Prince. Our theme was composed by Ed Horan, class of 22. For the Daily Princetonian, I'm Theo Wells-Spackman. Have a wonderful day.